Marina.
That's the last thing I need. Celebrity exterminators.
Judging by your expression, someone just made your day,
noted Anastaria when she re-emerged from the forest.
Want to tell me about it?
After telling Anastaria about the hunting party and seeing her smile and say that she could handle such a mob with one hand tied behind her back, I returned to reading my mail.
Hi, listen, with all that's been happening, I completely forgot to tell you about what I managed to find out, or rather, what I haven't managed to find out. The histories completely lack any mention of phantoms, dark spirits, or anything of the sort. I'm sorry I wasn't able to help you. Natalie.
That's it. The mail was read, and 4 hours of my life had duly been wasted. I think I'm beginning to understand why Ekeler, Evelet, Itamzalat, Undigit, and their like rarely exceed level 230. They simply had no time for leveling up. If you actually wanted to manage a clan, rather than just let things sort themselves out, you'd have to have a conscientious approach to it. In the last week, I spoke with my officers only once, since I'd spent most of my time in the company of Anastaria and Do Not Punic. That's not the way to do things. As soon as everyone is back from leveling up, we'll have to get together for a chat and figure out how to develop the clan together in the future. Sad though it was to admit this, I wasn't achieving all that much on my own. As for the letter from Anse, it was a pity that she hadn't found anything. I had a hunch that we weren't dealing with phantoms, but with spirits that were somehow no longer under the control of the Supreme Ones. That's why I thought that an explosion in the astral plane would destroy them. They couldn't have appeared out of nowhere. There had to be a story behind it. Was this something I could ask Anastaria? On the second day of my solitude, people started to leave the group. You could see from their frames how a player would gain levels, probably as they reached the Guardian's Glade, and suddenly the group would have one member less. This continued throughout the day until only 7 people remained, all of them members of the Sea Thistle's clan. At first, I was surprised to see that my players didn't gain any levels, but then remembered that their mounts were bought in great haste and were pretty basic, so they would take longer to get to the glade. Anastaria spent the entire next day in the forest, so I busied myself with what had become almost a habit by now, leveling up in jewelcraft. "Why don't we go and see what the Fallen are up to?" I suggested when the girl once again graced me with her presence. "I'll start seeing these rings and ingots in my sleep soon."
"How's your progress?"
"Level 102, jeweler, and 87, smith," I said, rather pleased. "I even managed to get a couple of Alexandrite stones from the silver ingots and peridot from an iron one."
"Alexandrite?"
Anastaria's eyebrows flew up.
"Will Barleona soon be seeing the battle ogre from the Carmandant chess set?"
"I don't know." I gave the girl my honest answer. I was glad to get the stone, of course, and even tried to imagine an ogre so I could make him, but it seems a certain time must pass between crafting the figurines. You can't make them too often. I can't seem to do anything, and I don't want to waste the stones, especially now that I'm out of silver ore."
"So why don't you buy some? Mail has been unlocked inside the Dark Forest."
"How? The only auction house that I can access is in Anhurst, and asking you all the time also isn't an option."
"Damn. I keep forgetting that you're still not a very experienced player. Are you familiar with the concept of a free broker?
In real life, yes. What's this got to do with Barleona?
Man, don't make me angry now. Think.
Hold on. Do you mean to say that there are players who just stand near the auction house, receive letters, and, having bought items at auction, send them off to their clients? You've got to be kidding, right?
Far from it. Add 10% commission, and within a month you can earn so much that you may be tempted to drop everything and devote yourself to this line of business alone. Any self-respecting clan is certain to have several brokers who keep 24-hour watch next to the auction house. I can give you a few names with a good track record, and you may write to them directly. The reply usually comes within a day. I can even tell you that the copper ore that you received happens to be from one of them. And there's little point in looking at the fallen. They're still trying to break through the wall, but won't manage it any time soon without any picks and axes. I dropped by a couple of hours ago. I must say that Plinto did a good job. Not only did he block the entrance, but also managed to throw a few of your pine cones into the watchtowers. Now you can simply walk up to the gates without any fear of being shot at.
Stacy, I'll be howling soon at this rate. Let's just go for a walk. Loosen up a bit. What if I also want to have a look at what they're up to?
No need to howl. Just busy yourself with something else. Have you solved the dwarf equation yet?
No.
So what's the problem, then? You can sit there cutting out rings all day, but you don't have enough brains to solve a simple puzzle?
Cutting? Another bulb lit in my head. How is Stacy such a genius? Right, hang on a moment. We can come back to that later. If you insert all the spaces, the equation will look like this. 3 and 5 and 2 and 9 take away 40. The simplest answer is -21. But the 5 and 3 equals 7 line really has me stumped. It just doesn't fit standard logic.
Exactly. That's the key expression. In what instance could there be an equals sign between the left and the right side? I'll give you a hint. This probably is given to children who are not yet familiar with numbers, but already know how to count.
Children? Anastaria was so sure that this equation had a solution that I felt I was being a complete dolt. A problem for children who aren't yet familiar with numbers. If they don't know numbers, how can they read what's written here? Or to count, rather. To count. But they only read it and then count it. Read it. There really are two answers. I echoed Anastaria's words as I finally understood the logic of the equations. There really is an instance where both 5 and 2 equals 7 and 5 and 3 equals 7, and you don't even have to resort to Dandelin graph method. 10 and 11. Let's try the first answer. The world froze. Slate came out of the tent, went down on one knee, and a whirlwind appeared a couple of meters away from me, out of which 8 stout dwarves walked, one after another. The sleeves of their coats were rolled up, revealing powerful arms. They had bearded, soot-covered faces, enormous picks, which would destroy an ore vein in just one swing. And how come I know all this? The legendary mountain smiths have graced us with their presence. I glanced at the stunned Anastaria, who clearly didn't expect such a spectacle, and, inviting her to follow my example, respectfully bowed my head before the legendary skills of these master craftsmen. Anastaria copied my bow, after which the dwarves spoke.
And the day when the world knew that a great one had come. Near the river, each day in whose waters there meet, Durin, exalted by 100 creators of human souls, forever proclaiming love and prosperity, and Orin, her twin brother, who spent his whole life creating unique living plants that outshone the world with their beauty, rests a man whose fates inextricably linked to the world, which was left by the dragons forever.
"Our battle brother will continue this tale," said Borg.
Then the dwarves went back into the whirlwind, and sound returned to the world.
"What did the orcs say?"
The first thing uttered by Anastaria had little to do with what just happened. "More or less the same thing, but in different words," I said thoughtfully, as I tried to figure out which river they were talking about in this message.
"Altair's waters flow through almost all this entire continent."
Anastaria wasn't giving up that easy.
"The river is called after one of the most beautiful stars in the sky and has its source near Elma. It goes through Malabar, Cartus, and the Freelands, and flows into the world ocean. Mayan, what was in the first verse?"
"Why do you think they mean Altair?" I replied, and tried to get to grips with my breathing, which had grown treacherously heavy. The orcs had spoken about the Shining Mountains, also known as Elma, the mountain chain that stretches all the way to the south of the continent from its northernmost point. If this refers to a river that has its source among those peaks, this would actually really narrow down the search area.
Iran and Yiran are the ancient names for the moon and the sun in Barleona, the only place where they meet, creating an incredibly beautiful spectacle, is in the lower reaches of the Altair River. Believe me, this is truly a sight worth seeing. Although, what am I saying? I bet you've been there more than once yourself. The man of whom they speak is Carmandant, the first emperor of Malabar. Mayan, what did the orcs say?
Stacy, you are my deputy right now, of course, but...
Hey, guys!
I was interrupted by Klutzer's cheerful voice and the noisy approach of the other members of my clan.
"We've had a bit of a think and decided that hanging around Phoenix isn't for us. Why spend a month on training when we already have a trainer?"
Klutzer glanced at Plinto.
"Who can give anyone in Phoenix a run for their money? And there's nothing to do there for Barca except possibly lose levels. No... we'll stick with you. It's no good leaving clan leaders all by themselves."
"So what happened to wanting to prove that you're the best?" I asked in surprise, looking at Plinto.
"What's the point? Everyone already knows I'm the best, myself included. I see no point in trying to prove that to some flaming chickens."
The rogue shot Anastaria a sly glance.
"They'll be fine as they are."
"Whose idea was it to come back?"
asked Anastaria, ignoring Plinto's look.
"His," volunteered Eric. "We'd made it almost halfway there when Klutzer convinced us to return." "Oh, I just thought," my officer parried, smiling, "that it's unprofitable to hand in the quest for a level bump right now. There's no deadline for handing it in, so we could easily gain 100 levels first, then drop by the Guardian and the High Priestess. Plinto gave the Stone of Light to Elenium to hand over to Elizabeth. There's no need to return the Tear of Aluna, and it's not clear what should be done with it. Here."
Klutzer got off his horse, turning it back into a bridle, and gave me a small, silvery, glinting stone.
"Oh, I'm sure you'll think of some proper use for it."
"Item acquired. Tear of Aluna. Description. Hidden. Approach the goddess.
How do you like the description, eh? Asked Klutzer when he saw my baffled expression. It only appeared yesterday. Plinto said it wasn't there to begin with.
So a quest has subsequently been attached to the tier,
Anastaria said straight away.
Will you open its properties?
It took me a few seconds to make the decision before I opened access to the description.
The goddess? Among the players, only a priest could appeal to her, or the high priestess among the NPCs,
explained Anastaria.
We have no priests, and the high priestess is miles away. So, for the moment, the tier is useless to the clan.
Never mind, I said, as I hid the properties and put the tier into my bag. We'll get a priest of our own, or pay Elizabeth a visit, and find out what Aluna wants with all of us. Right. Since everyone's back, let's hold our first clan meeting. We have to figure out once and for all what we plan to do in this game. Aim of the Sea Thistles Clan, to ensure a cash turnover of at least 10 million gold a month. Means for achieving this aim? Production of jewelry items for 100 to 200 level players. Target cost of one ring, 30,000 gold. The minimum number of rings to be made a month, 400. The minimum number of rings to be sold a month, 400. Item quality of the crafted rings, rare and above. Anastaria, aided by Leidy, will handle how and where the clan's goods will be sold. Gathering of rare resources. In order to achieve this, we will have to invite 30 to 100 players into the clan who are proficient in gathering various resources. Klutzer will be in charge of recruiting the gatherer players. Completing dungeons and selling off the loot that drops there. To get this part right, we have to invite 30 to 50 level 200 players into the clan. Barcina will oversee the healers, Eric will supervise the tanks, and Plinto the melee and ranged fighters. Anastaria and Plinto will handle general raid preparation. Building our own castle and making its facilities available to external players for item storage. In order to commence this part, we have to build a castle and establish decent security there. This task is a secondary priority after the primary aim of securing the clan's position has been reached. The redesign of clan symbols will fall to Anastaria and Barcina. 3 hours worth of discussion essentially boiled down to 5 simple points that could be further summed up as, we need money and must use every means we can to generate it. As soon as we confirmed the plan of action, work commenced. The free players began to constantly hop in and out of the game as they carried out various tasks, and I, as the head honcho, watched all the commotion without lifting a finger. I had people for doing stuff now. I'll pitch in when it's time to review candidates for clan membership. But now...
Ding! You have received a letter. Do you wish to view it?
Can it be yet another Anastaria enthusiast? My hand sorting of all letters had resulted in 10,000 blocked players, so I hadn't received any letters today. That didn't last long, though. After I opened my mailbox, fully expecting to have to add another name to my blocked senders list, I saw who the message was from. Evelyn.
Hello, Mayen. I'm sorry it took so long for me to write to you. I must admit that for a long time I was unable to choose the right gift for you, one that would sufficiently reflect your ability to surprise. But today I watched a video report by Phoenix and the Azure Dragons on a certain joint quest, which, among other things, featured you and your dragon. After the eye, I was sure that nothing else would be able to surprise me but your totem. When I saw him, I immediately realized what, yes, just like that, in capitals, I should give you as a gift. We looted this item a long time ago in one of the dungeons, but had no idea how to use it, because there are no dragons left in our world. Please accept it, and may it bring you and your totem luck. Yours sincerely, the head of the Dark Legion clan, Everlet.
Item acquired. Diadem of Atranicalonius. Description. +1 to the number of rider players. Limitations. Only for dragons.
Chapter 11. The Traitor Shaman.
"Yeah," said Eric slowly. "It really is ginormous."
The next morning, when the free players returned to the game, I persuaded Anastaria and Plinto to take everyone to the Castle of the Fallen. The archers from the farthest watchtowers were too far away to shoot us. My holy items blocked access to the nearest two, and we had no intention of coming close to the gates. All in all, it was a normal sightseeing trip to the castle of the main enemy. Regular banging could be heard from inside the castle and was shaking the wall very slightly.
"They're still at it," said Plinto,
pointing out the wall's durability status bar to us. In several places it was at 85%, and each subsequent hit reduced it by a few more thousandths of a percent. The fallen were knocking through a path to freedom.
"Had a good look now?"
asked Anastaria, her voice tense.
"Let's get back. It isn't safe here."
"Bah, Stacy! What could happen to them?"
Plinto spoke up for us.
"I was so efficient in deploying your blades and cones that not a single rat would..." "Man, stop!"
"Plinto, stop him!" Anastaria shouted. "Someone could have gained control over him. Man, snap out of it!"
Ignoring the shouts from my guys, I continued to walk to the open gates of the castle. As soon as we'd come to the clearing, it was as if something had taken me over. It seemed that the most correct course of action would be to walk up to the gates and... I couldn't say what that "and" was, but felt that I'd work it out as I went along. Something wasn't right with this castle. I had to walk up to it and figure it out. I really hoped that my fighters wouldn't get in the way.
"Oh, I can't get close!"
There was surprise in Plinto's voice, but I didn't bother looking back. There were about 10 meters left to the gate, and I absolutely had to cover them.
"There's a seer here! I won't be able to stun him. I'll try a different way."
Something flashed past, and Plinto appeared right in front of me.
"Where are you off to, boss? It's no good leaving your clan behind. Why don't we head back?"
With these words, the rogue attempted a football tackle, throwing himself on top of me with his entire mass, trying to push me back.
Damn! Plinto is about to spoil everything. How can I explain to the clan that they mustn't touch me now?
The rogue proceeded to attack the sphere that had appeared around me out of nowhere, so I simply waved him out of the way. Behind me, the sound of the breath being knocked out of someone, a dull thump against a tree, and Plinto's frame, now sporting half as many hit points, indicated that was one heck of a wave.
"Man!" came another shout from Eric. "Stop!"
"I don't know what mess you've got yourself into now, but I've just been offered a class-based, continent-wide quest to stop you at any cost. Can you hear me? Mayan, I need an answer. Otherwise, I'm attacking. Don't take it personally, but... Stacy, everything's fine. I need to get to the gates. We can have a chat once I'm there, I replied to the girl, after realizing I could use the clan chat. Stacy, trust me. Linto, stand down, came the immediate command from the Lady Paladin.
Oh, I'm also being offered a class-based continental quest, the rogue growled somewhere to the side of me. Mayan has to be stopped at any cost. Plinto.
It was awkward to type, but I was reluctant to talk for some reason.
Back off. That's an order.
FYI, if anyone's interested, typed in Eric, both Leidy and myself have had a warrior class-based quest unlocked, too. You have to be stopped, Mayan, prevented from entering the castle.
The great druids of the earth are also asking me to do that. Barcina's report wasn't far behind. Is it even normal for several classes to be given a continental quest at the same time? And within such close proximity as well? That's our clan leader for you, quipped Anastaria. I think he doesn't give a damn about logic, and the game can sense that. Mayan, if you fail the quest, I'll eat you alive. Every last bit of you.
All right. I'm off. Don't get in my way.
I sighed in relief as I finished typing and almost flew the last few meters to the gates. That's it. The shaman has reached his destination. Now what? Mayan, another message from Anastaria popped up in the chat. Why don't you turn on the camera? You can share the video with me later. I sense that something interesting is about to go down. Everyone else, too, turn on your cameras. Afterwards, we'll edit it all into a film about our adventures.
My entire clan immediately sported video camera pictograms above their heads. So, not to be the odd one out, I went into my settings and turned on the recording. Stacy was right. It would be interesting to watch through our adventures later on. Strange though it was, the crowd of plus 350 level fallen mages, who stood about 10 meters away, was in no hurry to send me for respawn. Instead, they looked in my direction as if waiting for something. As soon as I took a tiny step inside the fortress, a message appeared before my eyes.
Quest available. The Making of a Dark Shaman. Description. Garanika spent many years looking for a way to free himself from having to depend on the supreme spirits of the higher and lower worlds. 15 years ago, he found it. You may join him and free yourself from the power of the spirits, forever binding yourself to a different power. Quest type, class-based continental. Reward for accepting. You will begin the initiation process into becoming one of Garanika's dark shamans. Penalty for refusal. You will be sent for respawn. Do you wish to accept the quest?
Two buttons appeared before my eyes. Accept and decline.
Right. First of all, I have to figure out which continent-wide quests were given to the others.
You cannot use the internal clan chat while choosing a side. Please make this choice on your own.
What the?
Judging by the total lack of reaction to my shouting, the clan wasn't hearing me either.
Right.
Then I'll try to use the method that did the job in Beatwick.
You cannot use the communication amulet while choosing a side. Please make this choice on your own.
So, they blocked this too. Fine.
If it's a choice they want, a choice they will get. Right now, any shaman's aim is to discover the nature of Guernica's power. Therefore, the making of a dark shaman quest has been accepted. Seek out Guernica.
I knew that you would make the right choice, my future apprentice.
An elegantly dressed man appeared next to me, his short hair barely moving, despite his instant relocation.
This is why I restrained my minions and helped you overcome your clan by surrounding you with a sphere and adding strength to your throw. Come, we need to commence your initiation so you can rid yourself of the yoke of the spirits forever. These, Guernica turned towards my clan, are to be destroyed.
A 2-meter-high human materialized next to us, his black eyes emitting a mist that fluctuated through the entire gray spectrum. The general. And he seemed oblivious to the fact that he was standing on a blessed pine cone with one foot and was pushing one of the dagger blades into the ground with the other.
No!
I barely had the time to shout before the slaughter of my clan commenced.
I might still find a use for them. Keep them alive for now.
I paused, but eventually found the strength to utter,
Teacher?
Future teacher, man.
Guernica corrected me.
Future teacher. You are yet to prove yourself capable of becoming my apprentice. Agreed. These free citizens could come in useful.
Guernica turned to the general and issued a command.
Invite them to the castle, after making sure they have no means of harming my potential apprentice. Let them be our guests, but with limited terms.
He then turned back to me and said,
This place needs to be cleaned up. Look at all the trash that's been strewn around. As soon as you complete this task, I'll await you at the center of the castle. You shall then be put through your first test.
After receiving the instructions to clear the castle of the blessed items, I began to gather up everything that had been thrown around by Plinto. I couldn't help wondering if quests were being generated automatically right now. I was pretty sure that this one hadn't existed until recently. And there was the update in the Tear of Eluna description as well.
Man?
The Lady Paladin's raised eyebrow spoke louder than any words. Does this mean that they'd all failed, those continent-wide quests?
I won't even ask what's going on here. You probably don't have a clue yourself. But bear in mind that everyone's quests have been changed. Now, instead of preventing you entering the castle, the task is to do everything in our power to ensure you fail the tests. Please, give some thought to the rest of us before you do anything.
Don't listen to her, boss, intervened Plinto. It's been a while since we've had anything this big go down. Even the lieutenant seems a pushover in comparison. Do what you have to do. We'll support you. Why can't there be a shadow empire? We can be the first clan for the third side.
Except all our money-making plans would be totally and irreversibly screwed,
sighed Leidy bitterly.
Who are we going to sell all that jewelry to, exactly, if the other two empires are hostile to us?
Enough talking.
The general's voice was so heavy that the subsequent debuffs didn't only bring down the players, but the majority of the mages and vampires, too. Only the elementals remained unshaken, but they too were probably wincing in the astral plane.
"The first test is easy," Garenika said the moment I found him. I had completed the gathering of the blessed item successfully, but I didn't get a single experience point for it. My only consolation was that now I could defend myself by throwing the cones, if it came to that.
"You have to break with your race. I will return you to the past, where your task is to destroy the symbol of all humans, Yalaninka. Go, now."
The whirlwind of the portal appeared next to Garenika, but instead of the usual blue glow, it was red in hue.
"Mayan, don't you dare!"
Immediately came a message from Anastaria.
"Yalaninka is an untouchable symbol of all races, not just the humans, but all of them. She must not be destroyed, even to complete a scenario."
"To make sure that you really carry out my instructions, I will be watching you. Go, now."
The Lord of Shadow hurried me, so there was little I could do other than take one small step, a step towards a legend of Barleona.
A flash of light.
"Traveler, help me, I beg you!"
A woman's piercing cry cut through the surrounding world. This cry combined pain, despair, and, at the same time, hope of deliverance. It took me a few moments to evaluate the situation. I'd found myself high in the mountains, on a small plateau. A few meters away from me, over the edge of a precipice, a woman's hand was gripping the stone ledge. "Why am I so flippin' slow? She'll fall any moment." Without giving a thought to the fact that if I simply left things as they were, Garenika's quest would be completed automatically, I had no doubt that the woman gripping the stone with her last bit of strength was Yalaninka, I dashed to the edge of the precipice. Calmly standing and watching someone, even just an NPC, falling into a chasm, was more than I could bear.
"No!"
The woman's hand finally slipped from the stone and disappeared beyond the edge. Realizing that I was horrendously late, I bit my lip and jumped forward, in the unrealistic hope of catching her as she fell. Sharp, cold stones ripped across my chest, taking off around 10% of my hit points, but that was irrelevant. As I threw my hand through the air, I managed to grab the woman's right hand at the last second. Yalaninka grabbed at my hand like a drowning man at a straw, her sharp nails sinking into my skin and repeating the effect of the stone in the damage I sustained. Whatever, I'll deal with that later. The pressing thing now was that, although the woman weighed hardly anything at all, I had nothing to hold on to at the edge, and slowly but surely was beginning to slip too. That's the last thing I need.
"Hold still," I shouted to the wriggling woman. "We will both fall if you don't."
I began to beat the stones with my feet in the hopes of either catching my foot in or making a small hole in the rock, but still continued to slide after Yalaninka.
"Let me go, traveler,"
the woman said after a few moments, letting go of my hand.
"We might both die now. Save yourself."
"Yeah, sure thing. I'll just throw in the towel and let you go now,"
I growled, teeth clenched, and gripped a small rock with my free hand. The stone was slippery and wobbled, but managed to do its job. Our journey over the edge had ground to a halt. Now we just had to carefully climb out of this.
"Got a grip now. Stop trying to wriggle out already," I shouted when the woman began to twist her hand. Damn, this was hard.
Use your other hand and try to climb up to me.
The other one is broken,
Yelaninka shared the happy news, but stopped, trying to wriggle out.
Then I'll start turning over very carefully. Try not to move. As soon as you can, try to get a leg over the edge. That would help out a lot. Right. Off we go. Careful now.
In the next few seconds, I gained extra respect for the age-old profession of a surgeon. I once read in a book that before the introduction of medical imitators, people carried out operations themselves. And the first operations on the heart required such concentration and precision that surgeons commanded incredible respect. Using the wobbly rock as my foothold, I very carefully began to turn away from the edge, pulling Yelaninka after me. A wrong move could mean loss of balance and a long fall downward. The gray, in places leaden, clouds far below indicated that before its abrupt end, it would be quite a lengthy journey.
Thank you, traveler.
By the time I pulled the woman back onto the plateau, my energy bar was reduced to 40 points. Considering that it had 210 to start with, I'd had to do some serious exertion here.
I don't know what you were doing in a place so far away from the world. I'm sure you have your reasons, but you've saved me. Give me a moment to recover, and I'll heal all our wounds.
Struggling to my feet, I could finally have a proper look at Yelaninka. Thin as a reed, a small woman with long snow-white hair and slightly upturned nose was standing before me. Her eyes, once bright blue, had now turned pale, and a pattern of wrinkles that spread across her face indicated that her time of flying above the clouds was nearly at an end.
Great one.
I followed a habit I acquired when I was still playing a hunter. I bent my knee in acknowledgment of Yelaninka's great deeds. It looks like I wasn't fated to become Garanika's apprentice after all, because I didn't have it in me to push this woman off the edge.
"Get up, shaman," said the lady. "You saved me. I should be the one kneeling to you. What are you doing among these cliffs, if that's not a secret?"
As she spoke, Yelaninka continued to make various gestures. First, my hit points and energy completely recovered, almost instantaneously, no less, and then her broken and unnaturally twisted arm regained its normal position, following which the lady heaved a sigh of relief.
"Forgive me, Great One, but if I tell you the reason why I'm here, you will stop talking to me. Tell me, rather, how you came to be hanging off a cliff like that. Where are your silver wings that bore you around all of Barleona?"
"The wings have given out," she said sadly. "An epidemic arose near Priant, and I couldn't leave the orcs to battle it out by themselves. The Ontario warned me that the wings needed recharging, but I've grown tired, shaman. I've spent such a long time flying around the world that I've forgotten where my home is. The whole of Barleona has become my home. I am welcome everywhere. Everyone is glad to see me. But my strength is ebbing, and each day it's more and more difficult even to get up on my feet, let alone go around saving others. Still, duty calls. I decided to take a shortcut through the Shining Mountains when the wings failed. But tell me, what were you looking for amidst the mountains?
Fully aware that what I was doing was pretty daft, I told Yelena everything. That I was from the distant future. That in my time a shaman had appeared and destroyed two emperors, and that no one knew the nature of his power. When I explained the aim of my quest, the Great One gave a barely perceptible start and asked me to continue. The portal took me here, and the rest you know, I finished my tale. You had a perfectly good opportunity to complete your task by simply turning away, said the woman thoughtfully. Why did you intervene? If I didn't do it, then I don't know how to explain this. Honor, the desire to help another human being, the feeling of self-respect. I could use a lot of words here, but they wouldn't really get to the heart of it. I was just unable to do otherwise. I heard you, shaman, and now you listen to me, replied Yelena after some thought. My time is coming to an end. It is already finished, and I am only keeping myself in this world by an unspeakable effort of will. I long for rest at long last. As far as I understood you, your task is to destroy me, so let's not disappoint, Gerenica. Great One, my decision is final. The Emperor himself would have envied the authority commanded by this frail old lady's voice. Shaman, your task is to save your own time, to save Barleona. If Gerenica's armies attack, would the free citizens be able to stop them? Right now, the secret of the phantoms remains unknown. So the answer to that is no, they would not. You have to walk this path to the end, ignoring any possible punishment. That's the only way to become one of the great ones. Here. You will pass this gift on to someone you believe worthy of following in my footsteps. With these words, Yelena handed me a thin blue ribbon. And now come with me. If I understood you right, Gerenica wants me to die before your eyes. Item acquired, the farewell ribbon of the great Yelena. The description can only be accessed by players that possess the healing stat. Requirements, at least 100 levels in healing. Item class, unique. I never thought that tears could come to my eyes. The 30 seconds that it took Yelena to reach the clouds below seemed an eternity to me. I don't think I've ever felt such hopelessness, helplessness, and anger before. What kind of a quest would make you commit such a terrible deed? Where's the logic? A minute later, the system informed me that Gerenica's task had been completed, and a portal opened next to me. The Great One was dead. Update to the Making of a Dark Shaman quest. Should you successfully complete the quest, your reputation with all the factions of Malabar and Cartus will change to hatred. A flash of light.
I'm impressed with your actions, my future apprentice, uttered Gerenica as soon as I reappeared in the Castle of the Fallen. My brain had a solid grasp of what was happening, that it was only a game, but my feelings were telling me only one thing. Gerenica had to be destroyed.
You made Yelena kill herself. I couldn't have even hoped for something like that. You will become a worthy warrior of shadow.
Mayan,
Your eyes are streaming mist now, Anastaria informed me. The continent-wide quest has once again been renewed. Wait for the shaman's trial. What the heck are you doing?
Saving Barleona and clocking up a ton of penalties, I growled in chat. Stacy, I might be wrong, though that's unlikely, but very soon we'll see the emergence of a third empire, the Shadow Empire. You won't be able to play for it, but it will feature the phantoms that we came across when fighting the lieutenant. At the moment, only shamans have the ability to fight them. That is, only shamans who've managed to unlock the Change of Essence ability. That wasn't right, which is why Illenium's continent-wide quest has been launched. Right now, I'm trying to find out the nature of these things, and all your quests will eventually correct themselves into an ability of some kind, which will make it possible for every class to destroy the phantoms. This is why I started the trial, and we'll see it through to the end, no matter the price I'll have to pay in terms of reputation. Can you tell me if you know how Yelaninka died?
She was flying to someone's aid, but overestimated her strength and fell, perishing in the mountains. Judging by what Garenika just said, history has been somewhat economical with the truth. How did you convince her to jump?
I'll tell you later.
It's a pity that you've decided to fight these guys, a message immediately came from Plinto. I was already looking forward to becoming a warrior for Shadow, but being the hero of Malabar isn't bad either. Will you kill us in the end? We've probably been kept alive for now, only so they can use us for a sacrifice later on.
But this goes against the social aspect of the game, Barcina intervened. Barleona is meant to embody what is good and eternal, not provoke a player into destroying everything that he values. That's just wrong. It's a scenario, Barca. I agree with Mayan here, said Anastaria. If Shadow really does emerge as a force, everyone, not just shamans, will have to fight Garenika. Go for it, boss. We'll support you. Ding! You've received 163,287 new messages. Do you wish to view them?
Now comes the second trial, continued Garenika, tearing me away from chat and the mailbox.
163,000 messages? Why on earth?
The mailbox refreshed every 2 hours, so how was it even possible to write so many in such a short time?
It looks like I'll have to forget about hand-sorting the mail and cough up the cash for a mail-sorting imitator. It could handle all the mail analysis for me.
You are to visit your first teacher in Farstead and destroy him. The link between a teacher and an apprentice is so strong that only a sufficiently prepared sentient is able to sever it. I managed it by myself and didn't need to kill Almas, but you do. Otherwise you will never become my apprentice. Go.
Another red portal appeared next to Garenika. A flash of light.
I was expecting you, apprentice.
The portal took me to a familiar room where I was once offered tea. To my surprise, the room was now empty, stripped of all furniture, with the High Shaman Almas in full battle attire standing at its center. Staff, cloak, hat with the deer antlers. He was prepared.
If you think that I will allow myself to be destroyed so easily, you are very much mistaken. I was unable to lift my hand against Garenika, but I won't fail to act against a second traitor.
prepare to die.
Olmes, stop! Was all I had time to shout before a bird dove from my head. The High Shaman's totem. A message immediately appeared telling me that I had been attacked by an NPC and thus had every right to defend myself. Too bad it was the last thing I felt like doing.
Stop it!
I shouted again, when a supreme spirit of fire flew at me, leaving me with only 10% of hit points. Oh, well. Looks like I failed in my second task. I can't summon spirits, and wouldn't do that even if I could.
Fight, traitor, growled Almas. Or do you think that I lack the will to destroy an unarmed foe? You're wrong. Fight and die like a man.
I have no intention of fighting you. If you want to kill me, go ahead and do it. I won't resist. Almas, we need to talk. I'm here to...
No!
I was interrupted by the shaman's angry shout.
I have nothing to say to a traitor. If you don't wish to fight with spirits, fine. I'll destroy you with my staff.
With these words, Almas leapt over to me, raising his staff, ready to strike me down. All I could do was push him away and jump aside. The reflexes that I honed as a hunter kicked in fully. I tumbled a meter and a half away, dodging the staff, but Almas, he froze where he stood and stared into the distance with a surprised expression. Several seconds went by, and then the life bar of the High Shaman started to diminish.
How?
My teacher's voice was hoarse as he struggled to get the words out.
This is impossible.
To be honest, I was in as much shock as Almas. What was happening to him? How could my simple push do something so terrible? This simply couldn't be happening.
May you be...
was all the master of the house managed to croak before his life bar flickered and disappeared, leaving only his elaborately carved staff, the tip cloaked in a strange mist, in place of the High Shaman.
Bravo! Very nearly, my apprentice. Bravo!
The air in one of the corners suddenly thickened and turned into Guernica.
Leave that stick. It's of no use to you,
he added when he saw me lean over the staff.
I must admit, I first thought that you'd decided to betray me, but such a cunning move with a single strike was very much to my liking. To make the opponent doubt himself, and then deal him a devastating blow when he was least expecting it? I am pleased with you, my almost apprentice. But come now, two more trials still await you. After these, you will truly become my apprentice. Though, why waste time? Will you drop that oversized twig already?
If my future teacher would permit me, I would like to keep it in memory of my first victim, I said respectfully. It isn't every day that a great shaman defeats a high one, so I'd like to remember this moment.
Good point, agreed Guernica. I'll allow you to keep the staff. You can hang it in my castle. But to avoid wasting time, there's never enough of it. I will start your training now. I don't believe that after turning your back on your race and your class, you would not reject everything else. Remember this,
my future apprentice. The spirits of both worlds require a sacrifice for the summoning of their progeny.